So that is Jorge Sedano and Stu Gatz. Both of them are in today. I wanted to talk to you guys about what the Tampa Bay Rays tweeted on opening day. They tweeted, "Today is opening day, which means it's a great day to arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor." And the comment section after that was the predictable dumpster fire, where you just get a slew of the woman who was victim to crossfire in a shootout, the woman who was at home with a man with a warrant for drug dealing and fired back at cops. Stick to baseball, and how can you put fans in the stands in 2021? Politics and sports don't mix. Stick to baseball. No longer a fan, won't be watching. The country needs to get its priorities in the right order. Pretty good tweet for a franchise who will have the same number of fans in attendance for opening day 2020 that they did for opening day in 2010. And I could keep reading. It goes on and on and on. And what I wanted to ask you guys, we'll start with Sedano, is when I was in the arguments I was getting into, I don't know, 12 months ago with people at this company about the stick to sports that is just so prevalent, even during a pandemic when there are no sports, where people are in your mentions with all of that. And executives do the same thing, where they try and get in your business with stick to sports, stick to sports, stick to sports. When I was in that big mess before, it was super uncomfortable. But now, you've seen over the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, a total shift on this, where it is something that I can see sports fans getting sick of watching it all over television because it's so pervasive and because we haven't had sports. But when I was getting into those arguments, what I kept hearing was, hey, the polling shows sports fans simply don't want this here. None of it. Not what the Fainaroo brothers are reporting on China and human rights violations that are horrific and the worst that we've had in terms of enslaving people for religious beliefs since the Holocaust. Like, they just don't want any of it, even when it intersects with sports. Even when ESPN is reporting that when the NBA tried to go to China, they had a lot of trouble with their clinics and stuff. The coaches were abusive because basically the Chinese government can do whatever the hell it wants about everything, including enslaving a million Muslims. And so you get into these discussions, and I wanted to ask you, Sedano, as a sports talk radio host, what you make of what's happened in the last, I don't know, 5 months, where the walls have fallen on this stuff, and now it's okay to talk about, but the sports fan still, I'm guessing, doesn't actually want it any more than the sports fan wanted it 12 months ago, when all of the polling data showed that ESPN should stick to sports, that people don't want this with their sports.
Dan, it's kind of what we talked about yesterday, where no matter how much you and I want something to happen, there's still going to be a section of the population that doesn't buy into it. I would say to that particular section of the population, this isn't a new phenomenon, to your point. And it goes way, you know, further back than even some of the points that you illustrated. I would say, you know, it goes back to the 1936 Olympics, right, with Jesse Owens, Muhammad Ali refusing to go into the military in 67 during the Vietnam War, you know, John Carlos and Tommy Smith in Mexico City. Like, those things were all covered and were covered. Now, granted, there wasn't a 24-hour sports network at that particular time, but it was very much a part as, you know, I've had these conversations with people who were alive back then, and they said it was wall-to-wall coverage on these events, particularly on the more recent ones in the 60s during the Olympics, and particularly the Muhammad Ali thing. It was something that was very much ingrained in every newscast and sportscast, even on local news or national news. So I just think people are just naive to this stuff, Dan. Like, that's just what it is. They want to live in their own silos, and there's no way we can shake them out of it. Now, look, you still try to do it because I still think that there are some people that can teeter, right? And that's what you're trying to win here is the margins, I guess, to just get somebody or a few of those people to see the light, for lack of a better phrase.
What am I supposed to say, Stu Gatz, to the people who say, I want sports to be an escape and just an escape? Even as I could counter with, sports has always been a leader on this stuff, but dating back to the history that Sedano is talking about. Sports has always been a symbol for pioneering on this front. And I understand people watching now. I actually understand Stugatz trying to escape the daily hellhole that is these competing news networks, just pandemic-soaked, fear-soaked. I understand people wanting a respite from that. But given that we just recently got sports back, ESPN was dining on this stuff for 4 months because we didn't have anything else to dine on.
Right. There are so many networks, 24-hour news networks, who are now covering whether it's, you know, COVID-19 or whether it's race relations in the United States and the protests that are going on right now, that I do think when you come to ESPN, you are coming to ESPN, perhaps now more so than ever, you are coming because you want an outlet. You want an escape from that, and you just want to focus on sports. And so when you switch over from that to ESPN and you get what you were just watching on CNN, I do understand why people would complain, like, hey, guys, I came here because I want to hear about your thoughts on, you know, who's going to win the NBA championship in the bubble. On the other side of that, the teams feel obligated at this juncture in time to, and I shouldn't say obligated, that's the wrong word, but they really want to get behind these protests. And so they feel some level of, hey, we have to get out there, we have to say something. And listen, that's always a dangerous thing because, you know, politics and race relations are so divisive, Dan, that you're always going to have people who take issue with them. And so I wouldn't stop doing it if I were the teams, but I also do understand fans who are upset when they leave CNN to come to ESPN and get more CNN, why they would be upset by that.
Perfect fence sitting.
He isn't wrong, Dan, and you kind of alluded to that too. But, you know, what I think ends up happening here is that the cable news cycle is one thing. But I think this boils back to leadership, right? And people being opportunists. And without naming names, and again, this isn't just about, because people are just going to assume I'm talking about the president. But this is rampant, right? Like, this isn't about just one person. It is rampant among politicians across both aisles, right? To be opportunists, to utilize sports for their gain, right? And to help themselves with their own constituency. So I think that this also has been kind of magnified because they realize, oh, wait a second, I can grandstand on this. And it's like you like to call it Captain Easy stance, right? For these politicians to go out there and, you know, take a sledgehammer to sports because they're doing something, right? Whether it was, you know, again, the president calling NFL players SOBs who would kneel, or a particular senator who sent an email to the NBA, right? Like there are these people who are opportunists and are taking advantage of the situation only to enhance their own image at that particular point amongst their constituency.
The part that I don't get, though, is this part. Going forward, you will get no absence of sports from this network.
Sure.
Like, you will get sports just about everywhere else. It can't be some of it here, too. Like, it can't, I'm not allowed to put it here, as you get it everywhere else. As you see this network get more and more homogenized, our radio lineup in terms of shows sounding the same and looking the same. You need it everywhere? You need it to be 100%? It can't be 90%? It can't be 95% in terms of discussing this stuff?
You know, and Stugatz could allude to this too, because, you know, for all the fun we have with Stugatz has put together one of, I think, the greatest local radio stations that ever existed, right? Like, it doesn't get the love that WFAN or some of these stations that have been around longer get. But if you looked at that station, it had two things working for it. One, it felt like it was one show from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. But two, it was different. Every single show had differences to it in the styles of the show, in the beliefs and the opinions of the show. So to your point, I do think that, yeah, there is a space, you know, it's going to be a shrinking space for you, but it is, there is going to be a space to be able to do what you want to do. This is your space, Dan. You can explore that space any way you seem to fit to be doing it, right? Scott Van Pelt does a phenomenal job doing SportsCenter, and he stays true to some extent to the SportsCenter values, but he adds his own commentary to it, and unlike some of the other sports centers, and adds his own opinion and personality to it. So, yes, there is a space for that, but you're probably going to have to deal with the blowback for people that want it homogenized, that they do want it wall-to-wall a specific way.
No, but that's fine. It's actually doing us a favor. Okay, you want us to sound even more different? Okay, fine. Do that. Feel free to do that if you want us to sound even more different than we already do. Dallas Braden is going to join us here later in the show, about 15 minutes from now. Ron McGill. Stugatz.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. I've noticed it all morning. Now that sports are kind of back, the obsessive compulsive Chuck Solitoro will not stop emailing us crap. It is nonstop. It is unending. I am going to, I'm just going to read them one after another because my email box is on fire with emails from the last journalist standing in the building, peddling so that all the shows can talk about Michael Jordan some more. Major League Baseball story posted Wednesday night, mulling 7-inning doubleheaders.
I like that.
Thursday's NFL team availabilities. The Raiders are available at 2 p.m. and so is first round draft pick Henry Ruggs at 3.
Wow. He's fast, Henry Ruggs.
Best of NFL Nation, the Chargers' bold statement, the Broncos' backs, and the dining app the Lions are using.
What?
That's right. Chuck Solitoro is firing news in every direction. NFL's top 10 of NFL 100 released Wednesday night in player voting on NFL Network. Lamar Jackson, number one. Pat Mahomes, number four.
Patrick Mahomes took notes, put it on his Twitter, said, taking notes.
Some good sound from Freddie and Fitzsimmons, from Bob Bowlsby and the Texas AD, Chris Del Conte. I don't have any idea what that's about. Here's what to know about the NBA's 22-team restart. Everything you need to know in one Chuck Solitoro boring email.
Yeah, it's my kind of email.
Oh, look, I got it again. NFL's top 10 of NFL 100 released Thursday night. Player voting on NFL Network. Lamar Jackson, number one. Mahomes, number four. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
That's just to reaffirm, and he knew you deleted it, so he sent it again.
Right. Here is some sound from Chuck Solitoro. Dusty Baker, I think the punishments were fair. The next email is 8 games too harsh, breaking down Joe Kelly's suspension.
Wow. Definitely too harsh.
Someone's going to question Dusty. I mean,
I do love that story from Joe Kelly, just the idea of all of it. I mean, it's just so perfect in terms of not being able to rein in your cheating, where you're punishing the guy who throws at the cheaters more than you punish the cheaters. And last year, he played for one of the cheaters. He wasn't even on the Dodger team that's right to be mad about the fact that the Astros stole games from him.
Yeah, listen, Dan, Joe Kelly can run for office in L.A. now, and that's all good and fine. But it is time to flip the script. Go ahead, Roy. Hit it, baby. Let's go.
Wow, look at that. Oh, what happened? I don't think Roy was ready. You should have told somebody.
I did tell him. Texted him multiple times. All right, thank you, big voice. Stu, you weren't here for this yesterday, so since everyone's piling on you, now it's our turn to pile on Dan. You know that Dan loves to ask all these really difficult questions of his guests, right? He likes to probe into their psyche. So now it's our turn here on the show to ask him the questions and put him on the hot seat, put him under the lights. So, Lebatard, I'm going to ask you this. You have feuded with a lot of people over the years. Which is the feud you've actually enjoyed the most?
Dallas Braden next.
Come on!
Always enjoy talking to this guy and have a lot to talk to him about today. Dallas Braden with us on ESPN Radio. Thank you, as always, Dallas, for making the time. Before we get to the Joe Kelly stuff, though, I wanted to get your thoughts as someone who came on here and said, I can't believe they're asking to, you know, the players to subsidize losses when it's not like they were helping with a whole bunch of bonuses related to profit making in baseball. I'm curious what you made of Alex Rodriguez, of all people, seeming to advocate for a salary cap.
Are you curious? I don't think you're curious. I think you know exactly how I feel. And it was laughable. As soon as the words escaped that man's lips, I wanted to go take a shower by myself. He should have probably gone and taken a shower himself. If he ever wants to walk into another clubhouse and have any sort of integrity attached to his trailer when he does so. That's a very, very, very tough look for a guy who squeezes damn near $500 million out of the game and then turns around and looks at the guys who might not have that opportunity, whether it be because they have some extra help or not. He tells them to just take what's coming their way and shut their mouth and be happy that you have the opportunity to earn money. That's essentially how I heard that coming out of him. So, and I think if you looked at the opinions of a lot of people who played against him and even played with him, they're taken aback. They're kind of scratching their head wondering how so quickly can an individual who has gotten what he's gotten out of the game and has been through what he's been through forget what the entities he's essentially turning his back on had done for him and continue to do for players trying to get to the pinnacle in which he achieved. I can't understand that. That is a gross lack of touch of reality.
Where has your opinion on A-Rod gone? As I recall that he ran across your mound many years ago and you were furious. Like, you guys beefed on the field a long time ago. Was that ever healed up, and has it only gotten worse since then?
Well, look, it hasn't gotten worse because of any sort of personal conflict between us. If anything, I think we've seen the individual do a great pirouette and land swimmingly in the public eye, and how, I don't know. That's Houdini-esque. So really, all the applause to himself and the PR team. But his actions have continued to bring himself, and his opinions have continued to bring himself back into that spotlight of, what kind of guy is this? Like, who are we dealing with here? And when you have a player who's now trying to buy a team, you understand that there's that one move that has to happen, right? He has to go full heel if the good old boys club is going to open their doors and welcome him in. And that means he has to turn his back on everything he's known up until this point, which is why I always jokingly say, I'm just DB from the block. I used to have a little, but now I have a lot. But no matter where I go, Dan, I know where I came from.
Dallas, I'm worried about you, and I want to help you out. Because I tell people, when I do things or I lie to them and they've known me for a while, I just say, hey, what do you expect? And like with A-Rod, what do you expect? I mean, relax, you know?
Well, that's kind of the sentiment. And look, I don't know the individual on a deep personal level to be telling you this is how he is behind closed doors and speaking to his character on that level. That's not me. I'm not going to pretend to do that. I'm opining about my interactions with him and what we have seen as a baseball industry unfold and the roles he's played in some of these conversations that are being had publicly. That's it. So this isn't something that I'm coming up with. This isn't my unfounded opinion. This is me talking about the things that the entire general public has taken note of and has witnessed in terms of a transition from former player to now would-be owner.
Dallas Braden with us on ESPN Radio. Another Marlin evidently has tested positive for the coronavirus. What do you make of what's happening specifically with the Marlin?
Look, that was a tough situation, and I think something that a lot of folks maybe aren't necessarily thinking about is, look, you've got a young group who just made the big league club for the first time. A lot of those young guys are getting ready to stand on the baseline for opening day in front of nobody and really not get the feel of what they've just accomplished and what they've just achieved. So before that happens, maybe there's a collective, hey, you know what? We should tip our glass to what we've done here. And maybe a lack of a bunch of veteran leadership. And I'm not saying that the veterans on that club didn't do a great job, but I think we can all say at some point in time we could just do a little better in how we're trying to go about things here. And I think a lack of maybe a bunch of veteran leadership kind of led to a loosening of the protocol or an adherence to the protocol. And, you know, I look, I wasn't in the group. I don't know what these guys were out doing or where they were out going. I just think when you think about making a ball club, you think about celebrating, you think about going out with your guys, and sometimes for younger kids, the global pandemic thing can slip their mind. So it's terribly unfortunate what has happened, because now we have other teams that are suffering the same consequence, but without some of the, you know, health ramifications. And that's the first and foremost thing, is you just pray that these kids are going to be okay on the other side of this stuff. Because as we've seen with Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, these complications, they do exist. In his case, this is a guy who had COVID, came back, felt good, started cranking again, and then all of a sudden his heart is now swollen and enlarged to the point where he can't do what he's been doing his entire life. So, yeah, that is a complication after contracting COVID that these guys have to be very cognizant of.
A brutal story, that one, if you do not know, a 27-year-old pitcher fatigued after 20 pitches and now evidently actually has heart damage caused as a ramification to the coronavirus at 27 years old. Joe Kelly gets suspended for 8 games, throwing at cheating Astros. The Astros, a lot of people are pointing out, didn't get any games. What did you make of that suspension and that entire thing?
Well, look, it's nothing that I don't think any of us saw coming, and nothing that any of us weren't anticipating. So to see it unfold was just a matter of, oh, whether you are in the it's about time camp or, oh, well, there it is, we knew it was coming camp, it happened. And one thing you have to think, when you think about the suspension, I guess we need to work backwards. And we think about the coronavirus, and we think about the rules and protocol that were put in place. We're trying to avoid mass gatherings, right? We're trying to avoid people grouping together. Well, that's what a benches clearing brawl results in, is just a defiance of all of those protocol. So that's where, you know, the aggression from the suspension comes from. But then you continue to work farther back, and didn't Rob Manfred and the league tell everybody to leave the Astros alone and that they would be dealt with severely and in a heavy fashion if they decided to go against the grain? He did say that too. So now you have to factor in the coronavirus protocol as well as already being warned, and that's where the 8-game decision comes from. But then you have to think about, well, you know what? 3-0, ball got away. Joe Kelly is quite literally a man that has documented his inability to throw a pitch anywhere near the strike zone with consistency. He put out his own damn window in spring training trying to figure out how to throw a changeup. Damn. So when you think about the at-bat to Correa as well, that was a slider that got away, and then Correa got undressed by another slider. He went fishing for out of the zone. Didn't like it. Joe Kelly didn't like his swing, let him know so much, and then the issues continued to ensue. One thing I do want to point out is with Alex Bregman, because Alex Bregman has been documented, and he said it on my podcast with Barstool Sports, Starting Nine. Download, subscribe, leave a comment. He said, you know what? Best thing about baseball? It polices itself. I like that. And what did you see Alex Bregman do when that heater came sailing by his nugget? Put his bat down, took a deep breath, wide eyes, take it to first base and keep it moving. It's because he has an idea of what's coming. He had mentally prepared himself for the wrath that was going to be Major League Baseball. Because remember, and I said it last night on Twitter, them cheating put the target on their back. Them being given immunity by the commissioner's office put a target on their back. Them then being protected by the we will lever a severe penalty then put a target on their back. Some of the behavior and their opinions during the offseason leading into spring training about not speaking unless you know what the F you're talking about, that put a target on their back. And I don't understand how people don't understand that.
Dallas, Smoke, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Always. Appreciate the time, D.
All right, let me see how well I know our crew, because popping up here on the Zoom chat all of a sudden out of nowhere, and it was very exciting, a bit of an infiltration, Amin Alhassan made an appearance and is here now. And I had everybody on mute, so I couldn't hear what was being said, but I saw Amin roaring with laughter. I saw Chris Cody roaring with laughter, and I saw Billy roaring with laughter. And my guess is, and I don't know this, but my guess is it's because no one during this pandemic at ESPN has had their appearance go to hell the way that Amin El-Hassan has. Like,
hell? I resent that, sir. I think I look very dashing and professorial.
But that's Amin?
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because emerging from the shrubbery that is his face right now is what sounds like Amin. But tell me if I'm right, Billy. Were you and Chris laughing at just how he looks like he just woke up and there's hair on his face and head that is clearly trying to get away from him?
Well, someone may or may not have said to Amin as soon as he came in by way of greeting, Amin, just because they close barbershops doesn't mean you can't shave.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Has anyone at ESPN's appearance gone to hell more during the pandemic than Amin El-Hassan?
See, what you guys don't understand is the long con. I'm going to do this, and everyone's going to get their jokes in. And then the day I get my hair cut and I get all cleaned up, everyone's going to remark about how handsome I am, and the DMs will be flooded. I'm telling you, it's a long play here.
I understand the long con. Trust me.
give us your best 90 seconds on the bubble. What are the things in there that you're laughing about? There's some good content coming out of the bubble.
Well, I mean, I think the main thing is that Myers Leonard can shotgun a beer in about a second and a half. I did not know humans could consume liquid of any sort, even water, that quickly. I can't drink that much water that quickly. He's sucking it out of a can out the bottom. It's truly remarkable.
a feat of heroism. What else have you seen in the bubble that's fun and interesting?
Well, I mean, interesting. I don't know if it's fun, but they keep telling us how no players are testing positive, and that's great. But no one's telling us how many coaches or trainers or media members or any of those other people are testing negative. And that's what I'd like to know, because when they say all these guys tested negative, they're only talking about one subset of people in the bubble. And I'm just amused that everyone kind of thinks that's fine.
So wait a minute. You think that there are positive tests that aren't being reported? Or what are you accusing them of there?
I'm not accusing anything. I'm just saying that you have to always be cognizant of the wording. The wording says no players tested positive. Well, what about the people who aren't players?
Wow. That is a strong 90 seconds right there from someone who is going for hobo chic with everything on his face.